Hello, my name is David Hindmarch. I compose electroacoustic music, and in order to do that, I need to record wave files at 24-bit. For that reason, I bought the FR2, which is made by Fostex, and it's a flashcard recorder. There have been many reviews on flashcard recorders. A friend of mine did a review on the Nagra, and I've heard people do reviews on the Ederol machines. This is a very cursory look at the Fostex FR2. It was brought out about 2 years ago, so it's quite old now. It's a portable machine, but it's not a handheld machine. You can carry it round in a carrier case or bag, record with it fairly comfortably. I've used either binaural headphones or mics. It's very easy to use if you do record with it. It's very hands-on, which is why I bought it. It has menus which don't wrap and are easy to get into. They're not sort of multi-layered. They're quite straightforward. And the basic functions of this machine are very, very mechanical. Bit rates, things like that, frequency, stereo, mono, is all switches. And I'm going to try and describe all this to you. I bought it, as I say, quite a while ago. It's quite expensive. It was about $1,100, including VAT, which in, I suppose, dollars would be $1,600, $1,700 maybe, rule of thumb, something like that, about $1,600, $1,700. So it's up there with the sound devices in price. I'm using a couple of AKG Blue Line mics with capsules which you can screw into them. That you can buy different capsules for different mics. They screw into the basic tube, and then they're quite good. I borrowed those from Birmingham University, and I use them for recording material for my music. The pros and cons of this machine are, the cons very basically are that when you switch it on, it's a sprung switch, so you don't know it's on until you look at a file. If you basically can listen to a file through the speaker, the main speaker. It's a little mono speaker set into the machine, and it's very easy to feel. There's writing above it, and it's got little holes in it. It's sort of a grill, like the typical speaker grill. There's something very old-fashioned about this machine, which I like, something very authentic, and I like that aspect of it. You also can monitor yourself through the mono speaker, or you can use headphones. When you plug a headphone jack into this machine, it'll disconnect the speaker, so you hear yourself in stereo through the headphones. And you can adjust record levels on the fly very, very quickly. There are dedicated switches and rotaries for all of this sort of stuff. Okay, so I'm going to attempt to describe this thing. I'm afraid it'll be non-technical. I just use it very basically. If I record a file and I like it, I tend not to do a lot of stuff in the menus. I finish doing my recording, I take the card out, put it into my card reader in the machine, and then start processing the material from there. I very rarely use it as a sort of... You can actually transfer data to and from the machine itself, but it takes a while because it's USB 1. It's not USB 2. And it also, when I used to use batteries at the time, it used to really eat the power to do that. Its battery problem, its power consumption, is its major drawback, I think. You can buy an external battery with a DC adapter, which will keep it going for some time. And there are ways around these things, you know, just turning down the screen lighting and things like that, the contrast and things like that, which we don't really use. Right, so here we go with the description. On the top panel we have the rotary control for the monitor, which can be pressed in. It locks in place, so it's flush with the unit. You can hear that. Below it is the jack socket. It's a 6.3 for a standard headphones, which I rather like. You can hear when you switch the monitor switch on or off. It clicks on and off, and of course you can turn it up and down. If I turn it up now, of course, I'll hear myself through this thing, and we'll get some feedback. Within this, and I tried to demonstrate this actually, but I couldn't at the time. I obviously wasn't hitting something hard enough. If you clip in this thing and you've got the speakers or headphones on, you get a tone which will tell you that you're clipping. It'll warn you. If the batteries are running out, the same tone will come up. It's a pity it isn't a different a different tone. It's the same tone for every era. So you have to kind of, you know, judge on my clipping. Is my battery's going, or what? Or has my card run out? Because it'll give you a tone warning for that as well. I suppose it's context. Yesterday or the day before I ran out of space on my card, I got the warning, and I kind of realised it was because I didn't have batteries and I wasn't clipping. So it's one of those three things, really. So that's a good thing. I like that tone warning. That's pretty strong for me. Where are we? So we've done the monitor and the jack. There's the display screen, which is really no good to us. We then have a group of keys all grouped together. They're flat on the unit, so they won't catch on wires or anything like that. There's a shift key, which basically gives the other keys, I suppose, dual functions. Now, I don't know a lot about these keys. I'm just not interested, really. It does what I want, so I tend not to get involved. So we have, let me see, we have shift. Below the shift, there is release. I think that's for when you release the card, though I've never used it because I just take the card out and put the card back in again, and I haven't had any problems at all. The great thing about this machine also, it won't turn off now. Say when I'm recording now, you can't turn it off until you come out of record, which is good. So you won't you won't sort of catch a switch and switch it off. I like that aspect too. So you have release, there's clear, and this basically, I think, resets the machine. If you're in the menus, you get caught up in them, press reset, and you're back, you know, on the main sort of menu screen. The menus don't wrap. I don't know if I've mentioned that, which is good. There's light, and that basically switches on the light for the display screen. Then there's delete, or marker key, which basically you can mark RIF marks in your files, up to 99 of them per file. And I believe SoundForge will recognise those, so that's okay. I don't use them. I just I just go through these things in SoundForge or CoolEdit or something, and then just choose the bits I want. I have my own ways of doing these things. But it's there for you people who want to use this stuff, or who are, say, you know, looking to the machine to do a bit of the work there and want to use the machine more than the computer. You have backwards and forwards, and shift back will take you back one file at a time. Shift forward will take you forward through the files. Above these group of buttons, you've got the menu rotary, which clicks round and round. You'll probably hear me doing that. If you press it in, it'll click, and that's enter. So it's both a rotary, you can cycle through the menus and you can press enter on them. So it's a 2-in-1 switch there. And again, it sticks up a bit, but it's guarded, if you like, by partition. So it's always sort of kept away from the sides of the machine or so that wires won't clip in and things like that. They've thought about a lot of aspects of field recording, I think. And you can tell this comes out in the machine. It's not made of metal, by the way. It's made of strong plastic, but it's quite tough. It's tougher than your average sort of plastic unit, certainly. It certainly feels tough. It's not metal. So that's to bear that in mind. Now we've got the monitor button, which is square, and if you press that in, you'll activate monitor, and you can hear yourself through the little mono speaker or headphones. Then you have the record button. Now, if you press that, you don't press it, you push it to the right, and you are recording. If you press the monitor button, then you basically stop recording. If you start up again, you start another file. And if you're recording and you press the record button, then that also will automatically start another file. Now I come to mention all this, I can't remember how you pause and then carry on with the file, so you're going to have to leave that one with me. That's something I've just not done. I've just simply set it going and done my files and done all that in the computer. So, yes, remiss on my part, I'm afraid. Below these two, the monitor and record buttons, is the record level rotary, and that's got a little pointer on it, which is very obvious and you can feel it. It's set into the machine. It's guarded by raised sort of bits of plastic, so there's no way it can be damaged or touched in any way. And by moving that, I can, you know, manually move the record levels, and they're manual, so I can set them to however I want. There must be an automatic in here, but again, you know, I tend towards using manual. I don't like automatic record levels for what I'm doing, really. So, I need to now tip the machine on its back main leg, so it's basically lying down now, and I've got the main panel in front of me. As I say, if it's in a bag and standing up, you can just sort of, you can get at all this stuff very easily. Now, on the front, you have the speaker, a sort of depressed area, a square, sunken into the actual unit. And in this depressed square are all the switches, flick switches, and three rotaries. So starting from left to right, we have the so-called quantize, which is the bit selector, 16 to 24, and you can flick that from one to the other. Next you have stereo mono. Again, you can flick from stereo to mono. Then you have the lines, left line and mic in, right line and mic in, and it's on mic at the moment, but if I switch the left one to line, then it should go off and you should just hear me out of the right mic. So I shall see when I come to monitor this. Okay, it's back on again. And I can imagine the same thing with the right one. So there we go. That's all the buttons down that side. So back to the beginning. And the first one below this is the frequency, which starts, I think, is it 32? And goes up to 192 or 182 or something. It's very high. I tend to record either at 24-bit 48K or 24-bit 44. I tend not to go any higher, to be honest, though I may. I've got that option, which is great. Okay, the next button is the pre-record, which inserts a buffer into the when you're recording. So it's the idea. A lot of machines have this these days, where if you miss, in order to, you know, if you miss something, you can set it going and it'll record it. It'll have captured it. I don't like it. I find it intrusive. It gets in the way. I either want to record something or I don't want to record something. And it's a useful thing, and I'm pleased it's there. And it's just a simple flick switch as well. So it's, at the moment, it's off. And I know it's off because it's pointing to the right, and it's off. And again, you know, I just love that aspect of this thing. Next, you have the trim, or you know, the gain, or the trim rotaries, which are really for adjusting the record level left and right. So you've got control over your left and right channel, which I like. And then going back again to the left, you have, what do we have? The limiter, which is off. High frequency filters, and they basically take off the high frequency. They roll off high frequencies if you want them to be. I don't know, wind noise, maybe there's some clipping occurring at high frequencies, you think, and you just switch these and it'll switch them off immediately. So you have that choice. Again, you know, they're flick switches, you know they're off, and that's great. Okay, below these are four square buttons, very distinctive, quite easy to find, very well spaced apart, because this is a fairly, well, it's not big, but it's quite a big machine. And you have backwards, forwards, play and stop. And if you're playing a file and you press forwards, it'll start to move through the file a bit, like it'll speed up rather than jumping as you can do on some CD, you know, CD players. And the same backwards, you'll hear it reversing and going back, and you can have double speed, or I think, is it double triple speed or double speed, or you know, that sort of thing. So it's quite good in that sense. If you want to go to the beginning of the file, you press stop. And then you press backwards. If you want to go to the end of the file, it's you press stop and forwards, and you press those two keys together. Okay, so we've done all those switches and buttons, and so down the left hand side you have the bottom. You have the space where the micro drive. This thing, I don't know if I've mentioned it. I probably haven't. It takes two kinds of cards. It takes compact flash cards or ATA cards, and you can have two of those cards together, so you can run both the cards together and just switch from one to the other. I only use compact flash cards at the moment. I'm quite happy with the one I've got, and I've had it for about a year and a half since I bought the machine, really. On the other side of the machine, and I really should be talking about this, so first of all, on the left-hand side, we have the space where the micro drive is. It should, if you want to put a micro drive in here. It was, in the old days, when I first got this, 1.5 years ago, there were 5 gig micro drives. But I'm sure you can get really big ones now, 20 gig ones and stuff like that, because it's a standard laptop hard drive, which you could bang in there, and you would suffer from, I think, hard drive, the noise of the drive, the hard drive. But if you know, if you're outside or something and it would settle down, you might be okay. I tend to really like flashcards. Next to this is the main supply, the input for that. Above that is the USB input, so you can link this to the computer to transfer files or upgrade your firmware, which is free. After you've bought the machine, you just basically get free upgrades. Next is another USB input, so you can actually configure the controls on this thing using a PC keyboard. I don't think we could do that, but it's a sort of visual thing. There's SPDIF in and out, which I feel like XLRs. So it's all balanced inputs and outputs on here as well. We've done the left-hand side. Now onto the right-hand side panel. First of all, there's the on-off switch, the sprung switch, which I alluded to at the beginning, which I don't like, but you can monitor files. Then there's some phono outs, so you can link it to a hi-fi. Then there's the phantom switch, which can switch phantom power off and on, and you know it's off and on because it flicks to off or on. Then you've got your two XLR inputs, so your XLRs will go in, inputs for the mics can go into the machine, and you know, they slot in and they're very firm. Going back up to the top, back to the back of the panel, you have the two card slots where the two cards go in, and obviously I've got my compact flash card in there. And that really is it about the FR2. Well, what else can I say about it? It's about £1,100 it was at the time. I saw something on the internet. Someone was giving, I think, a slightly cheaper price than that, and with a carry case and some accessories. I'm afraid when I bought this machine, I got it in its box, and all I got was the unit and the manual. I mean, it was very mean, and I had to buy the main supply, and that was actually quite expensive. So it was £50 or something for it. So you have to think about these things if you're getting this machine. They're a bit mean, the company, I think. They're not like sort of you buy an Ederol R9, you'll get all your bits and bobs. But it is a very high-quality machine, I think. It's got very good preamps. I don't know how it compares to the Sound Devices machine, and I don't know how it compares to the Niagara. I suspect it's probably as good as the Niagara. And also, of course, it can record 24-bit, which even the new Niagara can only do 20-bit, which is unfortunate because I do like the Niagaras. They're very nice machines and handheld. Well, that's the end of my ramble. I hope you've gained something, from hearing the review. And maybe I can do another one sometime on binaural. I've got a pair of OK amps and I could take this thing out and try it out with its batteries and see how long I last out there. Probably no more than 5 minutes, I think. Anyway, goodbye and thanks for listening.